Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Wow, I have a lot of dimes to give away, so you're going to have to help me. We missed one birthday, and he thought he was going to get away with it. I'm just waiting for him to notice that I'm talking about him. And now he just ran away. Now he's hiding. Lorenzo grabbed him. No, there he is. Hi, Drew. Happy birthday, Drew. Drew's birthday is today. He's back there running the audio. Okay, so, yeah. There's no way. I might not have enough. Hey, speaking of, like, actual real money, so we have a tradition here. Someone donates real silver dimes to the birthday kids. So, Tanisha and Drew, you're too old. Cameron, you're way too old. I mean, you're practically an old man now. But for the little ones, you guys can get a silver dime. I just can't remember who it was. So we got your birthday last week, but we didn't get you a dime, right? I did. Okay. All right. So, and then Tiffany, whose birthday is today. You going to make me throw this thing? And then, is John here? I don't think I saw John. There was two Bisco birthdays. You don't want one? Do you want one? Check with Mom. Okay. All right. Here. And then... was that it for littles? Okay. All right. If I miss someone, it's your fault then. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. Let's see. I titled this See Christ. So, yeah. Kind of excited about the message this morning. I want to maybe ask the congregation to participate in an activity together this week. It's something that I've brought up before and just kind of really curious to see what amount of good it could bring. So let's examine this today, and let's start by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, you are such a great, wonderful, perfect Heavenly Father. We thank you that you lead us perfectly. Our job is obedient children, is by faith to trust your will, to trust the things that you have spoken, that they are for our good, and not to keep us from having fun or being able to do what we want, but that we understand that you know what the path to heaven looks like. You have done it yourself. You have walked this earth. You have been perfect. You have died and have come and have walked the path all the way from hell to heaven. And so we thank you that because of our faith that we may literally ride on your coattails, and might be partakers of your nature. So thank you, God, and we thank you for what you have done for us along the way and giving us the your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so really cool verse. And a lot of times we think of, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You know, and so rightfully so, we think of that in the context of, you know, when we are baptized into Christ and we receive Christ, and now we know that we belong to him, that we are new. We're not some old dusty Christian that's been, you know, wiped off and cleaned, destined to return back to his state of filth, but that God actually makes a new spiritual man, a new spiritual inner man. What I want us to see, though, is he tells us that we are not to regard one another according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him in this way no longer. So that's a very powerful illustration. So the teaching is, don't regard one another according to the flesh. And the Bible would want us not to do that because we are not mere flesh, we are spirit. Okay, when God made the world, he made everything. But he made mankind different than the animals and the trees and the rocks and the water. He made mankind in his image. And God is spirit, And in his image, he made man. We are spirit. So the New Testament is telling us that we should not merely regard one another according to the flesh, but that we should regard one another according to the spirit. And that would make sense because we are spirit. I'm thankful a little bit that we have these earthly bodies because they're how I tell you apart from one another. And I do have two kids on my basketball team that although it has been 6 months, I still cannot tell them apart physically because they are identical twins. So I'm thankful for that, you know. But that is not who you are. You know, you are not your blonde hair and your mustache and your muscles. You are spirit. And you have been made in the image of God. And so God wants us to see one another, or to evaluate one another, to recognize one another for what we really are, spirit. Very precious, eternal, and valuable. Something that does not fade away, something that is eternal. And with its eternity comes the evaluation of valuable. The example that he gives us for us to see how serious he is about the teaching is we saw Jesus himself in the flesh. And we don't even think of him like that anymore. So if we don't do that with Jesus, y'all better not be doing that with one another. It's a very powerful picture. Okay? So when you're praying to your Jesus, God doesn't really want you to picture an Eastern European Jesus. The tan skin, the long hair, you know. He doesn't want you to regard Jesus according to the flesh. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. I kind of have only been able to imagine an unapproachable light, okay? But don't regard one another according to the flesh. So what... what does regarding one another according to the flesh look like? Here's how I think about it. Instead of seeing the soul, the value of the soul, the fact that that soul will spend an eternity in heaven or hell, when we regard one another according to the flesh, we reduce each other to objects of frustration. I believe that to be the best explanation. Who can I pick on? Shereed! Say Shereed comes over to my house, parks his car in the driveway, comes over for dinner. Getting ready to leave, thinks he has it in reverse, accidentally has it in drive, hits the gas, you know, he's a young guy, you know, and goes forward instead of backwards and puts the car right through the garage door. Okay. Yeah. I can see him as a brother in Christ, made in the image of God, spirit indwelt, eternal, new creation, brother in Christ. What might that look like? What are you thinking, man? Yeah. Well, hey, I don't want to put a burden on you. I mean, if you could help me fix this, that's great. But, you know, if you don't have enough money for a cheeseburger tomorrow, I don't expect you to buy me a new garage door. But, you know, maybe be a little more careful next time, you know. Okay. Option two. I regard him according to the flesh. And all I see is a person who busted a $3,000 door, and he's kind of silly for doing it. Come on, man. What aren't you thinking? You know? And then I get frustrated with him. Maybe I get short with him. Maybe I call him an idiot. Who knows? You see, when we regard one another according to the flesh, the inevitable result is to reduce people to objects of frustration. Now, when I finally realized this in my life, I was on an airplane. Haven't told this story in a few years. I was on an airplane. I was flying standby, which is cheap. High risk, high reward, right? You guys ever fly on standby? You know. which means you can get on the plane if there's seats open at the last minute, which means this flight probably might have seats open if I get on it, right? So I'm one of the last ones to board because that's what flying standby does. And so I sit down. The plane is like 99% full. I know there might be one or two seats left open because standby flyers are being put on. And I go and I check my row and I'm the only one in my row. I just hit the jackpot. You know, them planes don't have, I mean, I'm not a big guy, but you know, a flight can become a very long flight if you get placed next to the wrong person. Okay. So I sat down and I'm like, I get to choose aisle or window. Everyone around me is packed in like sardines. I've got the whole row to myself. Oh, this is pretty neat. I'll take the window. So I sit down and we're getting ready to go. And then all of a sudden at the last second, this head pops in. Looking at there, and they're coming down the aisle. Oh, no. Now I say this to my shame. You know what my instinct was? I took my carry-on bag and I sat in the seat next to me. Seat's taken. Go somewhere else. This is like 100 years ago, so forgive me, okay? Coming down the aisle. Man, is he going to fall for it? I mean, well, that's kind of silly. I mean, he's got to sit where the ticket says, you know? Oh, the guy next to me, he's in the bathroom, you know? And seat's taken, you know? All these thoughts. And so he's coming down the row, doing his thing. And then I was like, wait. Because I'm brand spanking new Christian, okay? I'm like, I could sit by myself, which would benefit me. But if someone sits next to me for the next 2 hours, we might have a good conversation. And Jesus might even come up. Like that. But I, whoops. Sorry. Bag comes up. Goes under. Okay. Ended up not taking my seat because there were still more open seats on the plane. But that's when I realized what regarding someone according to the flesh is. See, I got what I wanted. And as soon as I saw somebody who was going to take something that was mine, I instantly saw them as an object of frustration. Somebody who could take something I wanted. And so for a moment, in a lapse of judgment, instead of regarding that person as more important than myself, which Philippians tells me to do, and to regard people according to the Spirit, that they are soul and that they have been made in the image of God and that they are valuable and I am the light of God and my example is supposed to shed the glory of God to others. And I almost missed that opportunity because I was being selfish. And that's what happens when you regard people according to the flesh. Now, you particularly, because of the context in which this is written, you don't do that to one another because you're new creations. And that's where this comes from. And here's the thought that I want you guys to take today. I would like this congregation in Billings to be a beacon of light in this town. How about you? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. He says, we are supposed to be the reason that the world hears about the goodness of God. And guess where that starts? Billings, Montana, actually. Maybe Weibo. We got any Weibo people here? Okay. Missoula. Great. Sorry if I missed you and you're visiting. Fromberg, where are you at? There you are. Okay. It starts right where you're at. I want us to be the reason that someone in this town has more hope this week that they didn't have right now. How about you? Because that's why God designed the church. He could have had angels come and given the message, but he sent preachers, Romans says. How can they hear without a preacher? How does the eunuch understand what he's reading without Philip?
See, that's what God does. Is he sends us as lights and as living representations that God can make a change for good in your life because he's done it in mine. And he's designed it so that we would be those living representations that God's plan works on earth. And it's got a retirement plan that is literally out of this world. I want this congregation to glorify God. And because of it, draw as many people as it can to salvation. And it starts here, but it reaches everywhere. And there are two things that I think as a congregation, and I guess I'm just realizing now I'm kind of in a resolution mindset, I guess. But there are two things that I think that if we stuck to, we could accomplish that goal. And I'm not ever up here trying to tell you these are the two things to paths to success. Like, I like to think in broad terms of pictures, so I keep the main thing, and that's how I communicate. Okay? The first thing that I think this congregation has to commit to in order to reach that goal 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, okay, is we must be diligent in prayer. Each one of us individually. And I don't mean, thank you, God, for this pizza, bless it to my body. Thank you for this Taco Bell. I don't know how God blesses Taco Bell to your body. Okay? Well, I mean, people used to say that because we actually ate real food, and then that food is designed to bless your body. Now, you know, 100 years later, we're trying to figure out how Taco Bell is supposed to bless our body, but we keep saying it anyway, you know, which is kind of interesting. But I mean, like, really pray. Like, pray that God's word spreads rapidly on Wednesday night. Take screenshots of the prayer requests on Wednesday. Come to the women's prayer group on Thursdays. Daily prayer in your closet, in your home. Pray for each other. Pray for the lost to hear the word, to come to repentance. Pray for our country that we can still practice our faith openly. Pray. And that if we each individually will pray every day for each other, for the town we're in, for God's will to be done, what could God do through this congregation? And see, prayer, that helps keep the main thing the main thing. You're not going to fool God when you're praying to God. You're not going to run tricks past God. You're not going to be selfish in your prayer to God because you're praying to God. And it helps keep the main thing the main thing. The other thing that I would like the congregation to do, and I'm just asking you if you want to participate this week, is to, I'm going to say it in a certain way and then let me elaborate, but I want you to pretend like every person you meet this week is Jesus in disguise. Okay? Because they are spirit and they have been made. So it's not really a disguise, you guys. You understand what I'm saying? People have been made in God's image. They are incredibly valuable. Now, those who are Christians and have God's Spirit, okay, the Bible says do good, especially to the brotherhood, okay? It says seek the Lord's kingdom, his church, and his righteousness, right? I love taking my life and the life of my family and combining it with the church and doing everything together. That's why I do it. Okay, that I participate in everything I can with the church, whether it's the potluck, to the school, to the praying, to everything that we can do. I mean, I got brought in because this church was playing 4-on-4 basketball at the YMCA. I want to be a part of everything church because God says especially the brotherhood. But every person on this earth has been made in the image of God and is different from the animal. But a lot of times we treat animals better than we treat people. And a lot of times we're meanest to the people we say we love the most. Now, there's reasons, not good ones. But I mean, there's reasons for that. What would change? You know, here's how I think about this. You know, I'm currently coaching junior high boys basketball team, and that's been a really good experience. And, you know, a lot of them are here today, and a lot of them are joining the Friday Night Fellowship, and it's really great. You know, I busted my foot because I got invited by one of the parents to go play in town. It's been a lot of good opportunities. It's been good. But I think about a team. You know, I've always been a part of teams, and that's why I like the sports environment. My kids are interested. I want to foster that because you learn a lot from being a part of the team, which lesson number one is this isn't about you. That's a really good lesson you learned from playing sports. This isn't about you. This is about the team. Is that an important lesson for the church? Like, oh yeah, right? So the team, in order to be successful, has to be united in its big picture goal, right? That's what prayer does for our congregation, right? You got a problem, let's say, with somebody in the congregation. Pray for them every day for 30 days straight. That problem will disappear. Because you'll either realize you have to get over it or you will deal with it. But you can't keep... Your third option is you will just stop praying for that person and just give up. Okay? You see, prayer is that the team's overall keep the main thing, right? Goal. Okay? We're going to participate and we're going to... Because we want to win the championship. And the church's prayer is I want to make it to heaven and I want everybody else that I care about to make it to heaven. There's the prayer. Okay? Now... The regarding one another according to the Spirit and seeing Christ in disguise, okay, that's where the teamwork comes in, right? Because how good is that basketball team if they're united on the goal, but they can't get along with each other? You know, Shereed drives his car into my garage. It's like, okay, well, let's say I do call him an idiot. And then I kind of think less of him, and then I don't talk to him anymore. Oh, he left. I must have really got to him. All right. I mean, you see the difference? You see, it's because he's a child of God that I would be patient and try to be understanding and to seek for reconciliation if something like that was to come between us. You see the picture? So on the team's only as strong as its ability to work together. So that's something that I talk about quite a bit. I want to go one layer deeper. Okay, y'all know you're supposed to get along. If you got a problem, go to that person. Stop talking about them to the church gossip. Okay, please go to that person. Okay? Even if it's me, come to me and stop going to everybody else. And I want to go one layer deeper. What could God do with his lampstand he has placed on the foundation of this congregation in town if we prayed and regarded people according to the Spirit rather than to the flesh? And then one layer deeper, what could it do for you individually? So I told the story, and this is kind of where the message is coming from because I've been thinking about it. This young man goes to someone who he sees as a mentor. Depression, anxiety, frustration, lack of aim, all the things. And his mentor tells him what I just told you. This week, when you leave my office, I want you to pretend that every person you see is Jesus in disguise. And then I want you to report back in a week. So he goes home, and mom's washing dishes in the kitchen when he walks in. So what does he do? Okay, let's pretend like that was Jesus. Okay. And if that was Jesus, what would I do? What would you do? What would you do? Nobody? Wouldn't you go help? Okay, nobody just wanted to say it. So he's like, so I went and helped my mom, right? You guys know the story. Sits down at dinner, one piece of dinner left, looks at his brother, says, well, if that was Jesus sitting next to me, you know, would I take the last piece or would I offer it to him first? What would you do? You know, when it's Jesus, our mindset all of a sudden changes, doesn't it? But isn't that regarding one another according to the Spirit? Not helping them and taking the last piece is regarding people according to the flesh because they have something you want, which is the last cookie on the table. Right? Now, I want you to try it. That's actually kind of funny because we do have potluck. I heard there's boneless chicken wings coming. If there's one left, you have to ask me if I want it. Is that how that works? Yeah. Try it. This is actually a true story. Kid comes back a week later. says to his mentor, "It changed my life." And then ever since then, to this day forward, a complete paradigm shift in that young man's life. 1 week. Guys, does life get hard? Does your aim stray sometimes? Okay. Do you need and pray to God to increase your faith? I do. Oh, yeah. I want this congregation so bad to be pleasing in God's sight and to be the reason why people who are suffering in the church have strength and hope and renewed conviction. And for those who are outside of Christ, to understand the grace and mercy that's available in Jesus and to participate and obey the gospel and to be on the path that leads to life. I want to be a part of that, and I want to be a part of that with you. And it's just by my estimation, if we will devote to daily prayer for God's plan, the word to spread rapidly for one another in the body, and if we will see people as Jesus rather than just blobs of flesh that are just dominoes in the way from where we're trying to go. The people who are driving in front of you going too slow, the people who are holding you up in the lines at the supermarkets, the people who are asking you to pay your taxes, your boss who's being unreasonable, the family member who thinks it's their way and wants to tell you how to raise your kids. It doesn't matter. You still have to view them as who they are. Now, I'm not saying you just turn around and you just blindly believe and trust everybody. The Lord knows that's not what I'm saying. But it's a paradigm shift. Now, here's the question. Am I making this up, or is this what the Bible asks us to do? Matthew chapter 25. Verse 34. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Isn't this what we're talking about? The church who's on the path to the kingdom of heaven and also being a beacon of light to grab as many people in this town as we can. He says, hey, here's the people who are going to receive the kingdom. Verse 35, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was standing there do the dishes and you came and helped me." It says, "I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say, "Truly I say, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Is it really Jesus in disguise? Or is it what he's asking us to do? To see Christ, to see people for the souls they are. Now, the context in 2 Corinthians is the church, but this extends further if we want to actually show people the love of Christ. We can't regard them according to the flesh, people who are just there and in our way from what we want, but living souls who we want on this path of righteousness. You know, it's so cool. In Acts chapter 20, it's recorded that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It was so great. We won our first basketball game on Friday night in convincing fashion. And the boys played really well this weekend. And so, I won't say who because I didn't get permission, but one of the grandparents came up to me, some of the people I've gotten to know, and grandpa of the boy that plays on the team came up to me and he said, "I thought you were a preacher." I am, sir. He said, "Well, the Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive." I said, "Well, because we had just won by like 20 points. And he's joking around. I said, well, the victory belongs to the Lord. And I can't find the verse that says I'm supposed to give those up. So I'm going to take the victory. But I thought that was so cool. I mean, I love it when people in town know the Bible. And that's what they want to talk about. I mean, you don't get that at the checkout line at Target very often, do you? You'll get the point later. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So we as God's people got to figure out. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, thus we know him this way no longer. And these guys are like, when did we see you hungry and a stranger and invite you in? And Jesus' answer, anytime you did it to someone else, it's the same thing as doing it to me. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You see, don't allow our freedom to become an opportunity for the flesh. That could be just flat out indulging in our own sinful desires. Or it could be just being selfish and wanting what we want. And anybody else in that way is an object of frustration, and that is regarding them according to the flesh. So these are just some of my thoughts this week. I very much love to be a part of this congregation. I am so thankful that Jesus' lampstand is firmly planted on the foundation of his church. And I want to shine his light, glorify him, and bring as many people to the Lord as possible. Amen? We can do that by praying and by seeing each other as souls, people who desperately need this message of salvation. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, what I'm particularly so grateful for is you are not asking us to do anything that you haven't already done yourself, which is the great mark of a true leader, a true loving father. You are not a dictator. You have not laid out your terms, and then you are only looking to reward those who obey your rules. We are not vindicated by our works. We are made righteous through our faith. You have not asked us to do anything that you have not done yourself. Scriptures even say that Jesus learned obedience in the things which he suffered because he came down and partook of flesh just like we did. But he never allowed his mind to sink to the flesh. His mind was always set on the Spirit. And because of that, he lived a perfect life. But now he is the one who has been sent as our advocate, the helper of the Holy Spirit, into our inner man, that he might help us do it again in our lives. And you have taught us not to regard others according to the flesh, but regard them according to the Spirit, because they are your people. You have created them, and they are valuable in your sight. And the way that we see them will change the way that we interact with them. May we, your body, those indwelt with your Spirit and your light, your ambassadors on this earth, could go out and be the reason why one more person this week shares in the hope that there is in you, Christ Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.